You know, on Wednesday night, I'd just like to talk to you, give you some things that will help you both spiritually and naturally. Tonight, I want to talk about an issue that most people deal with sometime or another anyway, and that is maintaining peace of mind. In the world we live in, with all the situations, circumstances, and problems, sometimes it's a little hard to keep peace of mind. Anybody found that out but me? Oh, thank God I got 55 people that here with me tonight. The rest of you, if you haven't been there, you'll get there, I guarantee it. Okay. The reality is that the enemy wants to steal our joy and our blessing. And in 1 Peter 5:8, it says that the devil walks around as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Now, he is causing chaos, trouble, I mean, all kinds of corruption and wickedness everywhere. Not just in a few places, everywhere, all over the earth. And, you know, we experience suffering and harm, maybe not in a direct way, but in a direct way, because it's affecting something around us. Now, one thing that I just saw on my news deal here on my phone, it came on this morning. I saw that up at Purdue University, that a boy got killed in his dorm room, and they got the roommate has been arrested as a suspect. Well, now, that any parents that read that have kids off in the dormitory at college, that's going to give them some, they're not going to have peace of mind. Hello, anybody know what I'm talking about? You know, it's just like right here at last Friday night at over at McLean Stadium at the high school. They had a shooting. Well, now some people, well, I don't know whether I want to go to any of the football games or not. Hello. You see what I'm talking about? These are the kind of things that get us out of peace, because the devil begins to talk to you and tell you all kinds of, he brings all kinds of crazy ideas to you. Oh, you know, that could be you. You know, you better just stay in the house. How many understand what I'm talking about? And that's not peace of mind when that's happening. You know, and I've told this before, but you know, years ago, a guy came up to my dad one time and said, "Brother Hagin, would you pray for me that I won't have any more trouble with the devil?" And of course, my dad looked at him, and some of you, you know, you don't know Dad. You thought you did, but you don't know him. He just looked at him straight in the eye and said, "You want me to pray you'll die?" And he said it just about like that, too. As long as we're breathing God's oxygen, as long as 2 Corinthians 4:4 that says the devil is the god of this world, as long as he's here, we're going to have a problem with him. Especially if we are calling ourselves a Christian and living in line with God's word, because he doesn't like anything that there is to do with God. He took a third of the angels and had a coup and was going to overthrow God. And God said, "That's never going to happen." And you can read about it in Isaiah. And he kicked him out. He was an archangel, and he kicked him out of heaven. Hello. And when he tempted Adam and Eve in the garden, that's when he got control of this world. And, you know, if you look, remember when Jesus was tempted in the garden, there in the wilderness. He took him up on his high den. He said, if you'll bow down and worship me, I'll give you all of the earth. Well, if he didn't have it in the first place, he couldn't have given it to him. You can't give somebody something that you don't have control of. Hello? And so he is going around wanting us to not be in peace, not to receive the blessings that belong to us. But you know, Philippians 1:28. As long as the devil's around, there's going to be turmoil. Because in John 10:10, it says that the thief has come, the devil has come to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Well, it's not abundant life if you don't have peace. Philippians 1:28. In the New King James says, not in any way terrified by your adversaries, which is to them a proof of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that from God. Now, let's read that in the New International Version. It gives it a little may. Without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you, this is a sign to them that they will be destroyed, but that you will be saved, and that by God. Here, the Apostle Paul is stating that God's people are not to be terrified. The enemy takes that as a sign that you're already defeated. But if you're not terrified, then he takes that as a sign, hey, I'm in trouble here. Now, you know, when I was playing sports in high school, and that was a long time ago. I graduated high school in 58, so you can take, 54, 55, 56, 57, those years. You know, our coaches was always talking to us about the fact that if you don't think you can win, you can't. If you are afraid of the opponent, you're going to lose every time. You know, I used to, that people, they run out, they catch a pass on me. We'd walk back to the huddle, and I'd tell the guys, the one back, I said, you better enjoy that one because that's the last one you're getting tonight. I wanted him to know, hey, you may be an all-star, but I'm not afraid of you. Hello? How many of you that played ball understand what I'm talking to you about? Yeah. You have got to realize that the devil, if he thinks you are terrified of him, he will come into you harder than ever. The challenge is for God's people to demonstrate the peace of God that passes all understanding when everybody else is wringing their hands and saying, oh my God, what are we going to do? Hello? If you've got peace of mind, it doesn't matter what happens. You know, people have said to me, oh, what do you think's going to happen? I said, I really don't know. I know what the Bible says. That much I do know, and I do know that we're living in the last days. But I said, one other thing I know. I'm not afraid. Because I serve the same God that was with the children of Israel when they were in the desert. And when they didn't have no food, he gave them food. And when they didn't have no water, he gave them water. In fact, their clothes didn't even wear out. Come on. If he can take care of the natural descendants of Abraham, then according to what the Bible says in Galatians chapter 3, that spiritually we are the descendants of Abraham and we are God's children through being born again by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, then that same God can take care of me. Now, you either believe it or you don't. If you really believe, see, to really believe something is to be fully persuaded, and nothing can change your mind. Come on. If you're going to live the life that God wants you to live, according to what he says in this book right here called the Word of God, then you've got to believe it unequivocally. There can't be any, well, I don't know about this. No, it's not. God said it. I believe it. That settles it. God said what he meant what he said, and he don't have to have anybody interpret it for him. I get amused at people saying, when you read a scripture, they say, well, now this is what I think God was talking about. This is what I think God. Hey, it's there. It's a statement. Hello? Yes. By his stripes, you were healed. Yes. Were is past tense. Yes. If you were something, then you is. Now, I realize that's not good English, but I think you get the point, okay? In the midst of all of our situations and circumstances that we get into, we have got to make up our mind that we are going to have peace of mind. Isaiah 26:3 says, he will keep in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on him, on God, fixed on God. God desires for us to live in peace and not turmoil. And there's a lot of turmoil around. How many? I bet some of you, that's not a good word. I imagine that some of you today run into people that were not living in peace. Anybody run into anybody today? Because that's the world we live in. But because we know God, we live in two worlds at the same time. We live in the natural world and the spiritual world. Okay? There are things in this natural world, yeah, that's going to upset us. But through the spiritual world, you see, you have to have both of them. I say it like this. The natural and the supernatural coming together make an explosive force for God. It's not all natural. It's not all supernatural. Some people, they're over here in the natural, and they're so naturally minded, they're not any heavenly good. And these people over here, they are so spiritually minded that they're not any earthly good. There's a balance. Come on. Philippians 4:6. I'm going to read this in New King James, but I'm going to read it to you in the NLT, the New Living. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace, there's that word peace again, the peace of God, which surpasseth all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. See, I'm talking about peace of mind right here. Just talked about it right there. The peace of God, which surpasseth all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. All right. Finally, my brother, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Now, let's read that from the New Living Translation. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all that he's done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true, honorable, right, pure, holy, admirable. Think about these things that are excellent and perfect. Think about things that are excellent and praiseworthy. My brain gets to thinking faster than I'm talking sometimes. Now, as we look at these verses, it tells us about experiencing the peace of God. So, as we look at these three things, let's break them down now. And there's three things I want to look at from these verses of Scripture tonight. First of all, we have to get rid of all of our cares. Philippians 4, 6, the first part, and as we ministers, as we write scriptures down, if we're just going to use the first phrase, we call it the A part, or then the B part, or it can be a C part too. But this is 4, 6A, okay? Be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. And then NLT says it, don't worry about anything. Okay. It's telling us not to worry, not to fret, not to be fearful. It's telling us, don't worry about it. Now, there's a lot of difference between concern and worry. If you want to do a study, you can. Go look up the two words and read them, read what they mean, and then you can see the difference. But it's all right to be concerned about something, but you don't go around, oh, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what I'm going to do. That's worrying. You can be concerned about it. Yeah, I'm concerned about that, but my faith is in God. Then it takes it all away. You know, now, we, in the day and age in which we live, and thank God for it, we do have some people that have anxiety problems and so forth, and there is some medications that can help them, and that's all right, but they need to learn to get to a point that they get where they don't have to have that. Now, somebody says, oh, you're talking about medicine. Yeah, it's not. My dad would say it all the time. It's not wrong to take medicine. My dad used to say, he'd say, the devil's not giving these scientists and these doctors all this knowledge to help save mankind. He wants to kill them. The devil wants to kill them. He said, that's God's way of helping the natural man before he learns how to believe God and so forth and so on. You know, if you have sugar diabetes and you need insulin, you better take it or you're not going to live. Oh, it gets quiet now because I'm getting down to where people live. I say I'm going crossways of what some of you have been taught and what some of you believe. Well, you need to throw that out the window. I know a minister, know him very well. He pastored a church. My dad preached for him many, many times. And so dad had preached for him I don't know how many times. And he finally told dad, he said, I got it. And so he would check his sugar. And of course, back then, you're talking about way back when I was, you know, in the 50s. And he'd give himself a shot and he'd say, I thank you, Lord, the healing power of God is working in my body to effect a healing and a cure. While he took his medicine, because if he didn't, he's going to go into an instant shock and die. So he would take that, say that. He was an elderly gentleman, and a bee got in the car, and he was swinging at that bee and knocked his glasses off, and he run into a telephone pole. So because he was elder, they took him in, and his doctor came and looked at him and said, now, you're fine, but could you stay overnight? I want to run a couple of tests. And he said, okay. So he came in the next morning. The doctor came in this morning and said, have you been taking any insulin? He said, no, the last 3 days I've checked it and I don't need it. He said, well, I've been your doctor for 30 years. He said, don't take any more insulin. Your body's producing insulin now. You don't need it. But you see, he kept the medicine while he was believing, saying, the power of God's working in my body, effective healing and cure. Anybody get what I'm talking about? Come on. But some people, I'm not going to go there. You know, If a person doesn't guard their minds and keep, they can become delusional and paranoid about everything. You know, they see a burglar behind every tree. The fact is, we are not designed. God does not want us to be burdened down, but he wants us to be burden free, living a good life. Look at Psalms 55:22. Anybody getting anything out of this? Psalms 55:22. Cast your burden on the Lord, and he shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved. And in the NLT, it says, give your burdens to the Lord. He will take care of you. He will not permit the godly to slip and fall. Cast your burden. Give your burden. Now, you see, there's Tad sitting over there. I'm going to cast this water bottle away. You know the reason I chose Tad? Because I played softball with him. I know he can catch. I could have did Craig because Craig was the catcher. He on our softball team. We had our in back, it just was Raymond. We played in the leagues around here. In fact, we got so good that they made us play in the upper leagues. We didn't let us play in the church league anymore. But I cast that away. Okay? Or give. You can give your burdens away, it says. Don't take them. Don't be concerned. If you pray and ask God about something, turn it over to him, forget it, and go on. If you think about it, you say, well, thank God. He's saying, God's taking care of that. I'm not going to worry about it. I know this lady came up to Dad one time. And this is way back when I was about 9 years old, just before he left. Well, I guess it's down there in Van before he left that church down there. Because I left the middle of my third grade year. And she came up after church. We're standing down front. And she said, Pastor, would you pray that the Lord take half of my burdens? I think I can take care of half of them. I'm serious. That's what she did. Of course, Dad looked at her and he said, Lady, I'm not going to pray for you for that. And he tried to talk to her about, listen, you don't need to give all your burdens to the Lord. Well, she went away very disappointed because he wouldn't pray that the Lord take half her burdens. And he said, that's unscriptural. You can't pray an unscriptural prayer. Said, the Bible said, cast all, give all your cares to the Lord. Actually, we might as well just go read it from 1 Peter 5:7. Now, I'm going to read from the Amplified, the old Amplified, not the new Amplified, but the old. They call it the Amplified Classic, I think they call it. Cast in the whole of your care, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all, on him, for he cares for you affectionately and cares about you watchfully. I think that's pretty explanatory there. I don't think we need any explanation. It tells you exactly what to do. Okay? One man said this, the whole burden of whole life may be rolled onto God and not weary him at all, though it has wearied man. If we maintain peace, we come out on the other side of our situations. Psalms 37:7, New King James. Rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for him. Don't fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger. Forsake wrath. Don't fret. It only causes harm. For evildoers should be cut off, but those who wait on the Lord shall inherit the earth. Now, let's read that in the NLT. Be still in the presence of the Lord. Wait patiently on him to act. Don't worry about evil people and prospering and fret. I like to say that. Don't worry about what's going on in the world, what people are doing. Don't worry about that. Don't get upset. Don't get enraged. Don't lose your temper. What I'm talking about, one of the biggest battles that you will fight is to keep your mind stayed on him. Because the enemy will do everything he can to get you thinking about everything under the sun but what the Bible says. See, the only way the devil can get to you is through the ear gate and the eye gate. He'll bring people along to say things to you. He'll bring things across you read that will... Oh, did you see what that... Did you just hear what they said on that radio? Okay. I mean, around here, they come out and they say, tornado watch, right? Well, that's the minute I start saying, thank you, Lord. You know, I start claiming what the Word of God said. I'm peaceful. They say tornado warning. That means there's one on the ground somewhere. I'm listening to radio. They tell me where it is. If it's close by, I do what I need to do in the natural. But I'm still believing God to take care of me. I'm not upset. I'm not worried about, I hope it don't blow the house away. No, I'm just doing what I need to do in the natural, but also I'm doing what I need to do in the spiritual, and I'm not all upset about it. One time somebody said to me, I think I was out of town, maybe on a crusade somewhere. And I get to, even though I'm out of town, I still get Channel 6 warnings right here on my device. And it talked about tornado and broken arrow. And I immediately did what I always do, put the protection and power of God over this place, over all the Rhema property, over my property, my kids' property, my grandkids' property, because I have that right because I'm the patriarch. Amen. And God has placed me in charge of this ministry. It's not my ministry, it's his ministry. I'm just the guy that carries out the orders, that's all. But you see, and somebody said, man, they knew about it. We were there somewhere. They said, man, aren't you concerned? Aren't you concerned? I said, no, I'm not concerned. I said, I'm going to be at peace. Because I know what the Bible says. Hello? You see, that's what I'm talking about staying in peace when things happen. Okay. Now, I got number two, and I only got about 8 minutes left, so I better hurry. I'm sort of enjoying doing this tonight, you know. I like having this conversation with you, although it's just a one-way conversation. One guy came up to me, and not very long ago, and said, you know, I like Wednesday night. He said, it's just like we having a conversation together. Secondly, take everything to God in prayer. That's it, 6B. In everything, in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made to God. And the God of peace will surpass all understanding. Guard your hearts. Now let's read that in the NLT. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need. Thank him for all he's done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ. God wants to bring peace to you in every situation. Yes. Hello? Yes. You know, with my grandkids, things have happened, and you know, and I've had to maintain peace when the devil was trying to tear my mind apart. I had to maintain peace. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. The rest of you don't. I ain't going to tell you. But God intervened. God took care of the situation. But I had to keep my mind. The devil wake me up in the middle of the night saying he's not going to ever come out, but he did. Hallelujah. And I had to keep peace. See, we know that God hears us. John 15:7 says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you'll ask what you desire and it shall be done. And then in 1 John 5:14, it says, now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask him anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whenever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked for. I want you to notice I said we have the confidence. If you have confidence that God is going to hear you and God is going to answer you, then you can have peace. You got to resist the thought of entertaining fear. That's the thing. God blessed you here, but it's not going to happen this time. That's when you got to keep your mind stayed on him. Okay? Now let's get to that third one real quick because I got about 5 minutes. I'm skipping some of the stuff. Okay? The third, guard your mind. Think the right thoughts. And we know that. We've read that in Philippians 4:8. You know, fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and so forth. Think about these things. Notice the kind of thoughts that we're told to think about. You know, somebody comes up and says, oh, have you heard this about so-and-so? And I said, no, I don't want to hear it either. Most of the time, it's not true anyway. It's a half-truth. Hello. They say there's all kinds of things said about the Hagans. It ain't true anyway. Somebody come up and say, oh, you ever read what they have to say about you on there? Someplace, some on the internet, I guess. I said, no, I don't care. What? No, I don't care. You're not going to worry about it? No, I'm not worried about it. I'm doing what God told me to do. And I'm going to keep doing what God told me to do. If they don't like it, if they want to say this or that, that's their problem, not mine. I pray that God will bless them. How can you do that? Because I know what the Bible says. You see? Now, we are responsible for our minds. Let's close this out. 2 Corinthians 10:4. Okay? In the original King James. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Right there it is. Pulling down the strongholds. The enemy comes in. The imaginations that he comes in with. Every thought. You don't have to think on it. Philippians says, think on these things. Go read that back there in Philippians. According to these verses, we are to deal with our attitudes, our imaginations, our thoughts, and our minds. We're to get rid of the thoughts that don't agree with the Word of God that we're believing. Okay? I'll close with this. In a college class in a seminary, a professor was just railing against another minister. And you could tell by what he's saying, he didn't like him. And after a little while, the class was over and he dismissed the class. A student came to the professor and asked him, have you ever been in one of his meetings and heard him? No, the professor replied. Then the student asked, have you ever listened to this minister on television, radio, or CD? And again, he replied, no. You see, this college professor was speaking based on what he had heard others say, and it was incorrect information. And now he is forming an opinion and saying things that he should keep his mouth shut. Right thinking will lead to right believing, and right believing leads to right speaking. Right thinking leads to peaceful state of mind. Right thinking is when we don't allow the problems around us to get into us and take away our peace. Everybody stand up. Heavenly Father, I just talk to these people to stir up their pure minds tonight for a few minutes about the peace of God. Help us all to understand that the enemy wants to distract us and discourage us and get us out of peace. But may we follow you and your word and know that we can live a peaceful life. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Anybody get anything tonight? Good, good. Listen, if you happen to be with us tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, or you know what it is to know him, but you've got off course and you need to come back and rededicate your life to God. Or you might be here and you may be born again of the Spirit, but you've never been filled with the Spirit. According to Acts chapter 2 and verse number 4, says that they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak with tongues, the Spirit gave them utterance. You might want to receive the Holy Spirit. Or you need somebody to pray with you about anything. The ladies are over here, the men over here, that's our prayer team. As we're dismissed, if you'll come down, they'll pray with you and you won't leave here like you came, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Connection team, go find our first time guest. And we are so glad to have you and so glad you chose to be with us tonight. We have a special gift we'd like to give you. So if you follow our connection people there, they'll take you there. And once again, what do we say? Welcome home. Just come on and join us. We have a great time serving God around here together. Turn around, shake hands with somebody and say, I don't know about you, but I'm going to stay in peace. God bless. We'll see you Sunday morning. Baptism, don't forget the announcements. God bless.